Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you've joined us for the 58th episode of our podcast, and this is the last of a four-part series that we've been involved in for the last several weeks. We hope this list has encouraged you. We're sharing 20 things I want my children to know. On each of the previous three episodes, which were episodes 55, 56, and 57, we've shared five things on each of those episodes and tried to explain them in detail. So if you are just jumping onto the podcast, just finding us through iTunes or through the website, you might want to go back and listen to episodes 55, 56, and 57 so you can see where we have been. I'm not going to rehearse the list before I finish it off this week, but I hope these things are encouraging you as a parent. I want to take a couple of minutes here and give the same disclaimer that I made at the beginning of this four-part series, and that is that this is my list. I don't want you to take this list and make it yours. I heard Brother Gwen Colley give a very similar list at Polishing the Pulpit several years ago, and it just inspired me to just sit down over some time and think about a list of things that I want my children to know so that then when I'm talking to them and I'm trying to make decisions concerning my children, I have a lens, I have a compass to help me in making those decisions for them and involve their future and involve their souls. And so I came up with 20. Of course, there are more than 20 things I want my children to know, but just 20 I want to share with you that I want them to see and know that are so important to me and to their mother as we seek to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this week we're going to complete the list with number 16 through 20, and I hope these things encourage you. Number 16 on the list of 20 things I want my children to know is I want them to know that God has a plan for their life. The prophet Jeremiah was told by the Lord, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." That's in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, it may not be that specific, but I believe that God has a plan for the lives of each of my children. Obviously, most certainly, He desires that they remain faithful to Him. But God has placed them in our home at this point in history, in this location, for some purpose. I want them to live in such a way that they are always seeking to remain faithful to whatever it is that God has in store for their life. And by the way, keeping with this theme, remember that Jeremiah's life was not always a bed of roses. It wasn't easy at all. In fact, reading the book that bears his name will bring tears to your face for what he endured for his faithful work. I say that to say this. Our children need to know that God's plan is not always the easy path through life. Sometimes there may or there will be tears or heartache or unease, but it's always to the glory of God, and if they are faithful to that, they are living as they should. I want them to know that God has a plan not just for the world, not just for humanity, but God has a plan for each of my children. I want them to know that. Number 17, I want them to know how to think through the world biblically. Now, I almost just said, I want them to think, because that's a skill that's so unused in our world. But I wanted to get more specific. I want my children to learn how to look at everything around them through the lens of Scripture, to look at the world biblically. We might just simply say to have a biblical worldview. When they read the news or see a news report, I want them to read or see or hear that news in light of what Scripture would tell us to think. When they hear some report that talks about how many Americans believe something or how many Americans think this or that is acceptable, I don't want them to take that as their ultimate resource. I want them to look at how Scripture says certain things are or are not acceptable. When they choose how to entertain themselves, I want them to look at their television shows or their iTunes downloads or their YouTube videos or smartphone apps or whatever through the lens of what would the Bible say this is acceptable. And by the way, no, our children do not have their own smartphone yet. They're only 10 and 9 years old. Teaching them to look at the world with a true biblical worldview, I think, would solve a whole lot of the problems and issues right from the outset that they might face in their teenage and young adult years and beyond. But teaching them that now, when they come home from school, we homeschool our children, but maybe your children come home from school and they say, "We learned this in school," instead of just going, "Oh, really?" Sit down and say, "Well, does that fit with what God's Word says?" Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer might be no. Help them to see how to think through the world biblically, or to have a biblical worldview. I want my children to know that. Number 18, I want my children to know that every person is made in the image of God. We live in times where this seems to be just as frayed of an issue as it ever has been. I want them to know that God looks at the heart, and I want them to know that God does not see as people see. I want them to know that God is no respecter of persons, as Peter said in Acts chapter 10. When they see someone as someone who is a different skin color, someone who is homeless, someone who's struggling with an addiction, or whatever it happens to be, we can make a long list if we so chose. I want them to see that person, no matter how different from them they might be, as a soul who is made in the image of God. But to do that, I must model it. I simply do not need to be telling racist jokes. No matter how funny I might think they might be, no matter how silly they might seem to be, I don't need to tell those things. I don't need to be sharing prejudicial material on Facebook. Thank you for working through that. I need to speak well of people. I need to talk about how every person is precious in the sight of God. I want them to know that every person is made in the image of God. You know, if I teach my children that, it may mean that one of these days they go to some place I can't even pronounce in order to preach the gospel. That's wonderful. It'll be difficult to see them do that because they might be on the other side of the world. But I want them to see it just because somebody has a different skin color or speaks a different language or is homeless or poor or whatever, that God still cares about that person because He created them in His image. Number 19, I want my children to know humility. Humility. We have way too many young people today who think that the axis of the world runs right through the top of their head. You know what I mean? They think the world revolves around them. You want to know why it's so difficult to reach a lot of even young people for the Lord? Part of it's because society has been telling them basically from the womb that nothing they ever do is wrong. I want my children to know what it means to be humble. They need to know that, yes, they are so valuable in the eyes of God, and I wouldn't trade them for any other children in the whole world. But they are no more special to God or to society than anybody else. Everyone is equal before the cross of Jesus Christ. Humility helps keep children in check because they know that their insight matters, of course, but so does the insight of every other person. They learn that they do make mistakes, and yes, they will need to play second fiddle at times, and that's okay. And they need to learn also that humility is one of the great attributes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He humbled Himself, Philippians chapter 2 tells us, and He humbled Himself far more than I would ever have to humble myself or than they would have to ever humble themselves. We're about to conclude our list of 20 things I want my children to know. We've done 16 through 19. We've got one more. So far on this week's program, we've talked about the fact that I want them to know that God has a plan for their individual life. I want them to know how to think through the world biblically or to have a biblical worldview. I want them to know that every person is made in the image of God, and I want them to know humility. So number 20 on my list, and this is the last one this week and the last one of the entire series, I want them to know that I will always be their daddy. I want them to know that. When Absalom died, David cried out for his son in one of the most heart-wrenching passages in all of Scripture. Oh, Absalom, my son. But did you know that Absalom could have been as old as 40 when that occurred? Likely he was probably just a bit younger, but he wasn't a tween. He wasn't a young teenager for certain. David was still the father, and Absalom, though grown, was still the son. And he was a son who had been awful in many ways. He had rebelled against his own father. He had tried to steal the kingdom from David, but he was still David's boy. You know, that prodigal son was awful and arrogant and unwise in Luke chapter 15, but when he returned home, that was still the dad, and this was still the son. Through love and grace and mercy and discipline and forgiveness, I need to let my children know that they will always be my kids, and I will always be their daddy. They may make mistakes, they may even rebel, and I will not stand for those things. I'm not going to approve of those things, but nothing can change the fact that I am their father. I will not approve of their behavior that goes against the ways of God, and I may oppose them even fiercely for those things. But if they return to the truth, I want to be the first one with my arms open to welcome them back. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully they're faithful to the Lord all the way through, but I want them to know that I will always be their daddy, and I'll always seek to point them to the loving Father in heaven, the one that I don't hold a candle to, but I try to be the best I can be to emulate in my life. So there you go, a four-part series, 20 things I want my children to know. There are many more we could list, but I hope this gets your mind thinking. I hope this has helped you and caused you to think about some very important things that you would like your children to know. And I hope you will form your own list, whether it's 20 things or just one or two or 100 things, but just a list of a few things that you want your children to know that you can filter decisions through so that your children are pointed and oriented toward heaven. This is the last, of course, of this four-part series. We have one more podcast we're going to release either next Friday or the next. I'm still trying to make that decision of when to release it, and I'll have more to say about that, of course, when we're on it. And then we're going to take the month of July off of the podcast and come back in August with new content for you on the podcast. But if you are just listening to the podcast, you're missing a whole lot of what we do at A Legacy of Faith. You can go to alegacyoffaith.us, and you can subscribe to our newsletter there. It's free. We don't charge you anything. We don't send you extra emails. All you get is blog posts Monday through Thursday, and then special content on Friday. Sometimes it's this podcast. Sometimes it's printable. Sometimes it is a picture. Sometimes it's a video. But a lot of material each and every week from all members of A Legacy of Faith, and we would love for you to join that list. It just keeps growing and growing, and we're so thankful to God for that. But if all you're doing is listening to podcasts, that's fine, but you're missing a whole lot of what we do at A Legacy of Faith. But as I said, we'll be back with you either next week or the next. I'm still trying to make that programming decision. Then we're going to take the month of July off and join you again in the month of August. We hope that you will be with us next time on the program. And until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.